I'm going after you. Hi, everybody. For those of you who have been coming to these events for a while, you'll know that I don't always get up here and tell stories. But I'm here tonight, and I'll share one with you all, because as I mentioned to some folks during the pre-show when we were all gathering, this is amazing for me to be down here and to be back in New York and to be back at an Airway event. Some of you know I moved to Vermont 2 years ago, and this is my Vermont origin story. I'm a recovering New Yorker, and like many recovering New Yorkers, this story begins in the spring of 2020. There was a big conference in New York City that spring, some of you may remember it, and I was at that conference, and I remember being very excited because I was in my second trimester at that point with my first kid, my only kid. And I was really excited because a bunch of my friends from around the country were coming to New York City, and I was gonna get to tell them that, hey, I'm gonna have a kid, and this is really exciting. And so everyone was here, and we were, you know, somewhere in Midtown, and there were all these murmurings at this conference that, hey, did you guys hear there's like some virus, and some of the programs and the attendees are not coming because we're all like, what are they talking about? Like, this is totally overblown. This is like day one of the conference. By day four of the conference, like, get out now. I was a residency director at the time, and I remember calling my residents at that point, and everybody dispersed, right? And then I remember it was literally the span of 3 days went from normal to ghost town. And for those of you who are here at were here at that time, you'll remember that too. And that was wild. And I spent the next few weeks, like many of us who were here in New York, in a state of uncertainty with this kid that was growing inside of me, and we didn't know anything. We didn't know if this was Zika. We didn't know if this was gonna end in what kind of way at the time. And I also had the joy, I found out after I got home from that conference, I got a call from my chair who told me I also took care of patient zero who had COVID at our hospital, and so that was really fun. And I got to be among that first cohort in quarantine. So I was home for a couple of weeks, because quarantines were 14 days at that point, for those of you that remember. And actually, several of my amazing colleagues at Maimonides at that point, I only had a few more shifts left until I was planning to go out on maternity leave anyway, and they had picked those up for me, because we didn't know. We didn't know anything at that time. And so I was home, and we were watching the news, and we were doom scrolling, and we were wiping down our packages, and we were wearing masks outside, and we were all doing these crazy things. And my partner and I were looking at the news, and one day the news came out that all laboring women in New York City had to labor alone. No partners, no families, no nobody in the room. And I remember Chris and I, we looked at each other at that moment, and we're like, we need to GTFO. We need to just, enough is enough. And it was literally, you know, we saw the news article come out, and within the next 30 minutes, we had thrown some of our belongings in some bags, chucked them in the back of our car, and he's like, it's time to go, it's time to get out of here. And I remember standing, you know, he's at the front door saying, like, we gotta leave, and I'm lingering in our apartment, and I'm standing, looking into our spare bedroom that was gonna be our kids' room, that we, like, didn't have a chance to set up, and we didn't have a chance to paint, and we were gonna get a crib, and we were gonna get all the baby things, and I remember feeling this, like, tremendous sense of loss, and like a weird, like a disconnect of my life was gonna be this way, but now my life is this way, and not knowing where this way was going to end. And he said, come on, we gotta go. And so we left, and we drove, we got in the car, and we had no plan. We took, I think it was like the interstate, I-95, we started driving north, and we ended up in Vermont, of all places, which we knew we did have a destination. My partner's Canadian, and his family and some family friends had built these houses back in the 80s up in the Northeast Kingdom in Vermont. For those of you who have been there, it is beautiful, mountains, wildlife, like, and like nothing else up there, really. So we do this 7-hour drive out of Queens, and we end up in the Northeast Kingdom in this cabin in the woods that is surrounded by nothing, and the nearest hospital is a critical access hospital that maybe has a unit of blood on a good day, and it is 45 minutes away from here. And so we're in the middle of nowhere. I'm in now my early third trimester, and I have no birth plan, I have no OB, I have no hospital, and we're like, cool, this is an improvement, right? This is what we wanted. And so I'm trying not to panic. I have a couple of weeks, and I'm like, you know, it's the first kid, it takes forever to labor, right? We have time to go somewhere. So in Vermont, there are actually only 14 hospitals in the state of Vermont, and there's only one tertiary care center, which was 100 miles from where we were staying at the time, but 100 miles away, I was like pretty sure that my old chief resident had a job there. And I was like, oh, okay, so let me go through my Gmail. I'm gonna search his name, and like 10 years ago, I'm gonna dig out his email and like hope that he still has it. And I reach out to him. I was like, hey, Matt, it's me. It's been a while, hope you're doing okay. And I reached out to him just asking what the deal was at the University of Vermont Medical Center, because I didn't know, right? Women were laboring alone in New York. Like, who knew what was going on up there? And he and I corresponded a bit, and he connected me with some folks who had delivered there recently. And after all of that, I decided that, you know, 100 miles over backwoods was like not my jam. And so we decided actually ultimately not to deliver in Vermont, and been probably a very inadvisable late stage of my pregnancy, actually made the 12-hour drive to Pittsburgh, where my family was, where I ended up delivering our kid. I did look up all the hospitals along the way, and you know, just in case nothing awful happened. I did ask Chris, I was like, you did go to those birth classes, right? Just in case. But we made it to Pittsburgh, and I delivered my kid, and it was actually the most boring labor, actually, which is great. And you know, life goes on, and things went on, right? Things went on at that time, and it was about a year later we actually made it back up to Vermont, because again, remember, Canadian family, houses, cabins. So we went back up to Vermont, and we were up there, and it reminded me. I was like, oh, I should send them a thank you, and I pull up the old email chain, and I send Matt a thank you, and I said, you know, thanks for all your help, advice, like, that was a really crazy time, everything worked out well, just wanted to let you know. And Chris is, like, leaning over my shoulder at the time, asking, like, ask them if they have a job up here. And I was like, P.S., let me know if you ever have any job opportunities that might come up that you think I might be a good fit for. 2 days later, I was over at the chair's house. Having dinner. He lives on a farm, and it was like a 5-course farm. They do a lot of farm today. I was telling these guys earlier, you know, I come back to the city, and they're like, my friends are like, oh, what do you want to eat? I was like, as long as it is not farm to table, I'm good. I've had more beet salad in the last 2 years than like I care to talk about. But it was very nice, like farm to table dinner with beet salad and other things that were grown on the farm. And actually, after, so the timing wasn't right, and there wasn't quite the opportunity there, but we kept in touch over the next couple of years, and I think you all know how this story ends, and eventually everything aligned, and I ended up getting a job, and he was able to move because everything went remote, and our kid now, you know, has this idyllic Vermont lifestyle, and it's beautiful up there. And I have, I'm so grateful, you know, I'm really at the end of all of it. We didn't know, there was so much uncertainty at the time, but I'm so grateful. You know, I'm grateful to all of my colleagues at MIMO who took those shifts, and I know some of them are sitting in the audience here. I'm so grateful to you all. I'm grateful, you know, that our kid was healthy. You know, he's a 5-year-old. He's 5, but he's loving being 5, and he's great. And I'm actually really grateful that I still get to come back, even though I am a recovering New Yorker. You'll all still have me, and I still get to come back and tell stories with you all.